To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Sean Spicer is going to join us on the show tomorrow. It's always fun to have a conversation with him about his show and his podcast. I think he's also, if I'm not mistaken, we'll ask him about this, or he'll volunteer the information. I think he's starting a new podcast with someone after the first of the year as well. Some thoughts on today's politics from him tomorrow afternoon. We do have the roundtable set already for Friday. Jane will be here, State Rep Steve Butts, and State Senator Nick Schroer. There's a guy named Mark Malkoff that reached out to me, and he has written a very unique book about Johnny Carson, and he's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour on Friday. All right, well, we always talk media and media bias stories with the Media Research Center and Newsbusters. Tim Graham is the executive editor. He's with us this evening as we take you into a Tuesday. Hey, Tim, how are you tonight?
We're good.
All well in your world? Did you have a nice Thanksgiving? You know what? I like people who answer honestly because I'm that kind of person as well. Mine wasn't the greatest ever either.
Turkey was too small.
Dude, I screwed the turkey up. We had a small turkey, and I don't know what the hell I did. But, you know, one of the great things about Thanksgiving is the leftovers and everything. And I never even – I was so disappointed. And, again, this is totally on me. I was so disappointed in my own execution of Thanksgiving. I never even went back to have the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows or anything like that. I just kind of got bummed out about it. So I have to make good on Christmas for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's always another opportunity.
Well, let's talk about some of the ways that the media is handling some of the stories these days. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, President Trump is in Pennsylvania talking about affordability and the economy today. But on this Somali welfare fraud story, which, you know, to a certain extent did happen and was unveiled and kind of rolled out and people started getting into it during part of the holiday. But this is a stunning story. And you guys did a little deep dive, as you always do, into how many networks may have covered this story and, you know, the coverage on Fox versus the other networks. And again, it's not even close, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they started really slow. I mean, and of course, if you live in Minneapolis, this has been going on for a year.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
When this whole thing came out in the last couple of weeks, I sort of looked at us and said, why did nobody find this story where Tim Walz is allowing all this welfare fraud? You know, why didn't the Trump people find this last year? We obviously, the news media did a little bit on how Tim Walz kept making up his wartime experience, but not on this story. But so when they pick this up, it's the classic way that the national media picks this up. Donald Trump said something offensive, so that's the story. So you're going to get a little bit of the actual what happened, but it's a minority of the coverage. It's like 1/4 of the coverage is, oh, there was this massive fraud. But Donald Trump really hates immigrants. So that's the story. Ilhan Omar is offended. That's the story. And the real victims are the Somalis. And that's the way they cover these things. is that it doesn't become a story until Trump has offended someone. And that's just not a good standard.
Yeah, but that's the standard I guess we got to get used to, and you're absolutely right. And you know, I've had a couple of weeks here where I've, you know, engaged a little bit more with people politically on Facebook. I've kind of gotten off Facebook outside of just putting pictures of, I have a bunny, Tim, and I have a couple of dogs and three cats, and I have a grandson and a daughter who's 10, and you know, I put family pictures up there. But I waded into some media related politics recently with someone that I used to work with decades ago who worked for the Associated Press. And this is someone who is terribly Trump deranged. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, I've been friends with him, known him for a long time. But I couldn't resist. I had to respond to something he was saying. And one of the overall arching points I was making, and I don't even know what particular issue this was on, because they go off on anything that the Orange Man does. I said, wait, when did you even, and this is rhetorical, when did you post about some of the questions that we had about Joe Biden being in the White House, slobbering over himself, never having a cabinet meeting? And this is a guy in President Trump, no matter what you think, he's accessible as hell, right? He's holding cabinet meeting after cabinet meeting. He's talking to the media on a regular basis. He's not running from the questions. Now, you might not be satisfied with all the answers, but he's certainly not trying to run and hide.
Yeah, once again, they're not going to give him credit for the access. They're going to attack him for calling a lady piggy because she wouldn't shut up. He was basically saying, you got your question, you got your answer, now shut up. Now, he could have just said it that way. He said, quiet piggy. And then they all had like 48 hours of outrage.
Yeah.
No, and then, again, the whole problem here is that, yes, Biden not only didn't grant any access. Well, that's not, it wasn't Biden. Biden probably didn't know there was a press corps. But the people who were handling Biden and hiding Biden, it was like, well, you need to give us your question in advance. We're going to put it in a neat little note card with a picture of you. And you be nice and dependable and ask the question on the card. That's the way these people behaved. So for anybody to say, well, Donald Trump is terrible with the press, well, they never want to look at it the other way. You know, you can't, you can call him Hitler, but you can't. He can't say piggy. I mean, which one's worse?
Well, that's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up because, look, you and I, this is one of the things that I got hit on in this exchange that I was talking about with this former AP reporter. He's like, I cannot believe that you support someone who calls reporters names, blah, blah, all this stuff. And I'm like, wait a second. You've got an entire leadership of the Democratic Party that refers to those of us who supported Trump. And by the way, I didn't vote for him in 2016. I voted for him the next few times. But we're Nazis. We're evil, evil people just because we vote Republican. So that never matters. That's just shoved aside that people are called horrible names and, you know, compared to Adolf Hitler. And I'm not a fan, Tim, of some of the sophomoric stuff that Trump says. I never have been. But to your point, there's a little bit of another narrative here that never really gets addressed by the legacy media.
Yeah, they also use words like maggot. Isn't that clever? There's such a double standard here. Like, you know, the Washington Post, I was writing about this today. The Washington Post has a huge puff piece from Sunday on Rosie O'Donnell. And they use the word ominous to describe Trump making fun of Rosie. But Rosie can say he's a fascist, and there's nothing ominous about that. It's not going to lead to Trump being shot at again. You know, it's the same with the reporters. The reporters may not be attacked. You may not use rude words for the reporters, but they can use very rude words for you. And that's justice. That's the way the world's supposed to operate. And they don't understand why people say, I'm not listening to you. I'm not watching your show. I'll let Newsbusters watch it for me and tell me how awful it was.
Well, let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene in this context, because 60 Minutes did a story on Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I watched it. Leslie Stahl did that story. It was kind of a profile of her and what makes her unique, and you got to see her work out, and she's got bigger guns than I have. I'll give her that for sure. But obviously, she's taken some different positions on whether it's the Epstein files or some other things. She's gone after Trump. Trump called her a traitor. I don't think he should have done that. But lo and behold, 60 Minutes doesn't go out and look for a story, you know, like to talk to Scott Bessent about what's really happening with the economy or anybody else in American politics that has supported President Trump in the agenda right now. But they go right back instantaneously to Marjorie Taylor Greene because she's breaking bad on the Orange Man. And they know that fits the narrative that their audience wants.
Yeah, that was an interesting story in that Dolph tried to make this point about how toxic she was. And she was definitely, one of those people who brought the pain to the other side. But Leslie Stahl is like, I don't see you doing the piece on Miss Crockett. You know, I don't see you doing the negative piece on her and how she's making civil discourse worse. It's the same double standard, which is we love it when our Democratic representatives say horrible things about you. That's righteous. But Marjorie Taylor Greene can't say nasty things. She was making a big point about Marjorie Taylor Greene called Biden a liar. You guys call Trump a liar on a daily, perhaps hourly basis.
No, it's an hourly basis. There's no doubt about that. Now, I love that you brought up Jasmine Crockett, because let's think about this. If you had a Republican that had some of the same things in their background as Jasmine Crockett, who, by the way, grew up here in St. Louis. I don't know if you went there. Know that. She went to a very fancy private school here, MICDS. She's not dumb in theory, but she's certainly also not the person that she is today. She's not the person that left St. Louis because she talks with this drawl now and she's all sassy and she wants attention. But in a fair media world, a media would call that out. They'd say, look, this is not the person that, you know, appeared first in politics when she ran for Congress. She's trying to use some of this to her political advantage. They do a fair story like they used to do, I guess, or maybe they didn't. But if a Republican was in the same position, you know that they would do that piece and they'd be hitting them because of hypocrisy and because of the crazy stuff they're saying. With her, they just give her a pass.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly it. It's like they even showed, Leslie Stahl showed Marjorie Taylor Greene basically yelling at Jasmine Crockett and not giving you the Jasmine Crockett half. And it's those two were two peas in a pod. They're the two people doing the same thing, both trying to excite their base, both trying to be hot on social media. And you can absolutely try to say as a stern journalist, this is not how legislating should be done. But once again, what do the journalists do? They go on MS Now, they go on CNN, they say nasty, they drop nasty bombs on Trump and the Republicans. Leslie Stahl does not get to lecture us on civic discourse. That's not what they do on 60 Minutes, and everyone knows it. This is the woman who is so rude that she had an Israeli hostage on, and he was talking about being starved by Hamas, and Leslie Stahl had the audacity to ask him, well, were they starving you, or maybe they just didn't have food that month?
Oh, yeah. I highlighted that. I remember when she said that. Tim Graham is here, executive editor for the Media Research Center Newsbusters. How long, Tim, has Newsbusters been around?
Well, the blog is, we started it in 2005, but, you know, the Media Research Center was started in 1987. It's so old. We had a monthly newsletter that went in the mail.
I love that. I didn't know that. I don't think I knew that. But I bring it up because now you have, I love your thoughts on this. The White House has a section, and the lefties hate this, and the people in the media hate this too, the legacy media, on their official website that's dedicated to calling out what they say is media bias and fake news. And they call it the Media Bias Portal. So essentially, they're kind of doing what you guys do on a daily basis. Is that competition for Newsbusters? Your thoughts on that, Tim?
I love it. We love it just because they're going to hate it.
Yeah.
And yeah, calling out the worst offender of the week. I mean, we kind of do that too. We have a poll for our worst of the week. They're generally not reporters. It's usually like, you know, which pundit, which member of The View was offensive this week, which celebrity outburst was the worst. But no, I think more the merrier. And, you know, but this is their problem, is that, you can't use the White House website to attack us. That's like authoritarian or something. And of course, the joke I have is when the Democrats come in again, let's say they come in 2029 and they scrub the media bias page, are we going to say they're erasing history?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. But I like what they're doing. I've always liked what you guys are doing. Tim Graham, awesome to have you on. I hope you have a great Christmas. And thank you so much for all the contributions.
You betcha.
All right, take care. If you go to the, it is kind of interesting, and I've been doing this every once in a while, going to the whitehouse.gov site, and, you know, whoever, they have good media, you know, people that have chops with websites, because it's very slick, it looks great. The top offense right now, it says the Washington Post exposed And it's the story about the unnamed sources claiming that Pete Hegseth ordered the double tap, whatever you want to call it, to kill everyone during the anti-terrorist operation in the Caribbean. So what they do is they lay it out here. They say the outlet is the Washington Post. The offense is Alex Horton and Ellen Nakashima publishing this article. The reporter is Alex Horton. The claim, Hegseth ordered the first Caribbean boat strike. Officials say kill them all. The category, lie, malpractice, omission of context. The truth, the Department of War killed 11 narco-terrorists in a coordinated strike to kill narco-terrorists who were poisoning the American people. The attack was the first in a series of lethal kinetic strikes against the designated terrorist organizations. The Washington Post published this unsubstantiated claim in an attempt to discredit United States warfighters and inflame the anti-American sentiment. Now, my favorite part about that particular story, and I don't even think, yeah, they do have a link to it. You debunk that story not by the White House or this news site or by Newsbusters, it was actually the New York Times that had to clarify the Washington Post reporting because they were so off base. So then if you page on down to this particular page, and I would offer this up as a recommendation for good nighttime reading. I mean, unfortunately, these are some of the stories that I talk about on the air, so maybe I'm giving up a little bit of my source material, but they lay the claims down piece by piece. Like, here's from a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this. It says, shorter days, the claim. The claim is shorter days, signs of fatigue. Trump faces realities of aging in office. And the New York Times did this. Let me press on this because I want to see what happens here, if I can do this. Doesn't look like I can press on that. So why can't I press on that? I can link to the... Oh, here it is. Okay, so I just had to press the New York Times. It says, outlet the New York Times, the offense, the New York Times, Katie Rogers published an article insinuating that President Trump's health does not allow him to fulfill his duties as president. The reporter Katie Rogers, the truth, Katie Rogers based her article off only a third of the president's calendar, and President Trump's physician has clearly stated that the president is in excellent health. This blatant attempt to undermine President Trump was published by the same reporter and outlet who described Joe Biden as healthy and vigorous. I mean, come on. Some of these are layups that these, you know, media offenders go through. All right, here's one from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is new. I don't know this one. The outlet, Wisconsin Public Radio, the reporter Corrine Hess, I actually think I might know her from my days in Milwaukee. She used to be, I think, Corrine Hess. Anyway, the offense. Wisconsin Public Radio's Corrine Hess claimed the Trump administration was no longer considering nursing a professional degree. The truth. Nursing was never considered as a professional degree. The Department of Education utilizes the term professional degree as an internal classification to distinguish among programs that qualify for higher loan limits, not a judgment about the intrinsic value of the profession. Misinformation on TikTok caused the confusion about the Trump administration's ongoing actions to implement student loan caps for graduate students. Key points, nursing was never considered a professional degree under the Department of Education's internal definition. So that's one there. I like that one. I had not seen that. Let's do one more here. How about CBS News filing false immigration data? The outlet CBS News, the reporter Camilo Montoya Galvez, the offense CBS News immigration reporter Camilo Montoya Galvez claimed fewer than one-third of individuals arrested in the Trump administration's illegal immigration crackdown in Charlotte, North Carolina, were classified as criminals. The truth, approximately 70% of illegal aliens arrested in the ICE operation in Charlotte had active criminal charges or criminal convictions. Key points, CBS News published false immigration statistics in an effort to undermine President Trump's highly successful law enforcement operations. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, in a different era, as someone who was trained, I'm embarrassed to say that, as a journalist, as someone who went to journalism school and has a journalism degree and was a news director and a reporter and an anchor and all these things, I probably would have not supported something like this from the White House. But because of the malpractice that occurs on an hourly, Tim Graham is right, it's not a daily, it's an hourly basis, this is...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Well, let's talk about that fat ass in Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, because this is quite something. And this is another one of those stories where if you had a fair media, you know, playing field, you'd see this all over the place, even on MS Now, but you won't. This is quite stunning when you think about it here. The ICE director, Todd Lyons, sent a letter to Kwame Raoul, who is the attorney general in Illinois, calling him to put the safety of Americans first and honor ICE arrest detainers of the more than 4,000 criminal illegal aliens in the state's custody. Murderers, sexual predators, those convicted of charged or charged with weapons offenses. They have released 1,700 criminal illegal aliens since January 20th. Listen to the reporting from Fox's Garrett Tenney. Homeland Security put this out yesterday.
ICE is shining some light on exactly how often that's happening here in Illinois. According to the agency, this year alone, the state has ignored requests for more than 1,700 criminal illegal aliens who were released back out onto the streets. Their crimes include 5 homicides, more than 140 assaults, 15 weapons offenses, and 10 sexual predatory offenses. Beyond that, ICE says the state currently has more than 4,000 other criminal illegal aliens in custody that ICE wants, but that the state refuses to hand over.
I mean, we're talking big numbers here, and J.B. Pritzker has no shame whatsoever going in front of TV camera saying, we don't really care about the taxpayers here of the city of Chicago. We care about the illegal migrants.
While I feel a deep sense of shame about the actions of our federal government, I feel great pride in how we in Illinois are responding to it.
How can you feel great pride when you have 1,768 criminal illegal aliens released since January 20th of this year? Homicides, 5 homicides, 141 assaults, 23 burglaries, 4 robberies, 24 dangerous drug offenses, 15 weapons offenses, and, you know, a partridge in a pear tree, I feel like I'm saying here. There are currently 4,115 aliens in the custody of an Illinois jurisdiction with an active detainer. All right. Well, there's a lot more people in Illinois that are not legal. There's a lot of them, right? But 4,000 of those shouldn't be in this country in the first place and also have committed crimes in this country, including in the state of Illinois. But you have the leaders of Illinois, including Kwame Raoul, the attorney general, and the governor saying, you know what, we don't really care about people who murder, rape, rob. If they're here in this country, we're going to prioritize them over our American taxpayers. That's essentially what's happening. little bit more of Garrett Tenney.
Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul says his office won't be changing course, explaining in a letter to Lyons, even if the Illinois General Assembly had not prohibited local law enforcement from arresting or holding people based solely on an ICE detainer, ICE detainers typically have not been subjected to judicial review of any kind. Responding to an ICE detainer based on an erroneous information could subject Illinois law enforcement agencies to liability for ICE's mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, so Todd Lyons is the Illinois ICE guy. So he's the one who sent the letter.
You know, we sent another letter back in September that went unanswered. There's over 4,000 criminal aliens that are being housed in Illinois right now. So out of those 4,000 that Illinois already has, over 1,000 of them, these criminal aliens, are in Illinois custody for sexual predatory crimes. Mm. So why any jurisdiction would want to keep them and re-release them back is ridiculous. All this shows is sanctuary jurisdictions and those politicians that favor sanctuary policies are just doing so to favor criminal aliens. This is a chance for them to turn over 4,000 illegal aliens that are felons. And if people don't want ICE doing enforcement operations in a neighborhood, this is a perfect way to work with us. Turn over these criminal aliens because that's who we're out there looking for.
How is protecting migrant criminals a winning political message? That, I guess, is a bit rhetorical because it's not. I mean, if you look at the polling on this, even the majority of Democrats support deporting migrants who aren't here in this country. But here's another thing with the balance in the media, because every once in a while you'll see a story. I saw something the last couple of days where someone got kind of picked up in one of these operations who, I don't even know what it was. It was a professor somewhere, someone who should not have been booted from the country, did not have an order. All right. So that was a mistake. And hopefully it was corrected and it shouldn't happen. But that gets 10 times the attention, the headlines, if not 100 times more than a story like this, which seems to be pretty significant. And I almost promise you, the nightly newscast just started right now, right at 5:30. They're not talking about that story. I'd place a fair wager on that right now, that nobody's talking about J.B. Pritzker and the criminal migrants in Illinois. But if you have this heartbreaking story about someone who shouldn't have been deported, who was accidentally deported before these situations are corrected, which they are, that's going to get all the attention. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Blake Hurst is coming up. He is a farmer in Tarkio, Missouri. The farmer's getting crushed. Are they going to be helped by the $12 billion in subsidies announced yesterday by the Trump administration? Also, an audio cut of the day and a tribute to Rahm Malo, who was from the band The Mavericks. He was a legend. He died at the age of 60 yesterday.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
day. Blake Hurst is back with us this afternoon. You know, President Trump announced this farm package yesterday. He's a corn, soybean, and greenhouse farmer in Tarkio, Missouri. He's been with us before, not always on the best topics because the farmers are really struggling out there. Blake, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I guess more importantly, how are our Missouri farmers doing? Because there's a lot of uncertainty and a little unrest out there, isn't there?
Well, there is for people growing crops. It's just across the board from rice and cotton in the boot hill to corn and soybeans and wheat. Prices are pretty low and people are feeling some financial stress. If you're raising cattle, it's been a very good year.
Well, let's talk. I want to talk about what the president did yesterday for farmers and get your reaction to that. But also, let's start with some things that really have been very detrimental to farmers and very challenging, and that's the price of everything. And you've talked about this before. And you can paint the picture here, I think, pretty effectively with the audience, because fertilizer and farm equipment, you name it, everything has gone up significantly. We're not talking about, I mean, the whole country knows about inflation, right? We're not talking about small numbers, but in many cases, some of these prices for farmers have doubled, tripled, right?
Oh, yeah. We're seeing, much higher than inflation on many of the things we buy. A lot of reasons for that. Tariffs are one of them. They're not the only reason that costs have gone up, but they're one of them. We've got, you know, in the seed corn business, there's only a couple, three suppliers of large seed corn companies. So they have a little bit of pricing power. They're able to hold higher prices for longer than a more competitive industry would. So it's a combination of things. So that the inflation kind of started it off. In other words, you know, we saw prices increases when inflation became high 3 or 4 years ago, and then it was kicked into second gear by the Trump tariffs. So really kind of a bad combination for the things we buy.
Is one of the things I think you've talked about before the potash fertilizer?
Yep. Yeah, we're seeing almost all of it has to be imported, and there's tariffs on it, at least 10% tariffs, sometimes higher depending on which country we're importing it from, and that's added to our costs.
All right, Blake. So yesterday, as I mentioned, the president unveils this aid package, which is supposed to provide up to $11 billion toward the U.S. Department of Agriculture's new Farm Bridge Assistance Program, which is designed to provide payments to row crop farmers, while the remaining $1 billion will go to farmers whose crops do not qualify for the program. I heard someone earlier today kind of describe this as, you know, pulling the Band-Aid off an open wound, but not really fixing, you know, some of the issues here. So what's your reaction to the package announced yesterday?
Well, it is that it'll help. There just can't be any doubt. $12 billion, $11 billion for crop farmers is a lot of money. It will help. I think the estimate for the profit, the loss on the seven major crops raised in the U.S., you know, starting with corn, soybeans, wheat, I saw the other day was $34 billion last year for all crop acres. So this is not going to fill that hole. And it's about our fourth year in a row where prices haven't covered all of our costs. So it'll help. It'll be appreciated. But we're going to need some improvement in markets for we're really healthy again.
Yeah. So what I hear there is that's just not sustainable, right? So what
oh,
is?
Oh, no. This,
yeah.
Yeah. This is a hell of a way to run a business, right?
I mean,
they said that they're going to spend money that they raised in tariffs. So this is the way it goes. We put on tariffs, which makes things we buy more expensive. Other people get mad and they quit buying our stuff,
right?
Which means what we sell is worth less. And now we have to get a government check and out of the money we got for raising those tariffs that caused all the problem in the first place. So you tell me how that makes sense.
Well, and, you know, look, this is a farmers, not across the board, I'm sure, but this is a group of people that certainly supported President Trump. And I know, you know, Blake, you and I have had these conversations going back to the spring with the tariffs and some of the concerns here. Now they're kind of playing out in real time, manifesting itself. So what's the long term fix for this? And what would you say? I think I've asked you this before. Like, if you're sitting down with President Trump or you're down at Mar-a-Lago, Blake, what would you tell him that the farmers need right now?
I don't imagine I'll be getting him in the picture anytime soon. Oh, look, I mean, the theory is that if we raise these tariffs, we'll be able to negotiate better trade deals. Have we proven beyond a doubt that that theory won't work? Well, no. I don't think we're off to a very good start, but we can hope. We can hope that we are able to see some trade deals that improve the terms of trade for U.S. agriculture and manufacturing. Now, at some point, and I don't think it's too far in the future, we're going to have to look at all these tariffs and all of our things that we've done and say, hey, is this working? President Trump's done a lot of good things for farmers. He's made announcements in the last couple of days on issues, on regulatory issues that are a big deal, that are good for farming. But this one isn't working, hasn't so far. We're going to need proof that it's going to work pretty quickly.
So what do you hear from your farmers there? Because there has to be obviously frustration, not only with the situation, but with the politics of all this.
Yeah, well, I think farmers are, glad that the subsidy package was announced and will go into effect. Are nervous about, again, strong support for President Trump and farm country and the part of the world where I live. But patience isn't going to last forever. At some point we got to figure something out.
You know, I think I told you this before, not that you would remember, but I always refer to it as maybe some of the only real work I've ever done in my life. When I was 12 and 13 years old, or 13 and 14, this was late 70s, I worked on a farm outside of Aurora, Illinois, Big Rock, Illinois, and I walked soybean fields and stuff like that. But, you know, I bring it up because, look, the family farm has been in trouble for decades. There's no doubt about that. But this is really a situation where it's going to put the kibosh on these family farms even more, isn't it? It already is, I'm sure.
Well, I mean... The thing I worry about is young guys getting started.
Right.
Just like you when you got your first job, got married, you bought a house, right? You had a lot of debt. Well, that's the situation the young farmer's in. He started farming. He's bought some machinery with borrowed money. He's got if he's lucky, he's been able to buy a base, a small farm to start out farming. He's got debt on that. And it's just going to be tough. So we got to get through this. And like I say, hopefully things will change better pretty quickly.
When you say the livestock farmers are doing so well, why is that? Now, look, I like steak and I buy steaks. They're pricey, but there's demand for that. And there's enough product where they're doing fine right now in livestock.
Yeah. What has happened? I mean, you know, it's sometimes bad news is leads to good news. What has happened is, we've had, particularly in the western U.S., but even in parts of Missouri, we've had several years of drought. People didn't have enough grass for the cows that they had. So they took the cows to market, which meant they went into hamburger, and you ate them at McDonald's.
Right.
But the thing that didn't happen was they didn't have a calf that year or the next year. So over time, as people shrunk their cow herds because of very, very dry weather, the number of cattle available to go to market, you know, to be fed out and purchased as steak has really decreased. And I think we've got the smallest cow herd, smallest number of cows we've had in the U.S. in maybe 75 years.
That's crazy.
So that was caused by some low profits in the past, but it was also caused by just dry weather, just a sustained and really awful drought. Now, so the prices went up. Everybody wondered how the consumer would react as prices have gone up. But people are continuing to eat steak. So that's the very good news. And I hope they have patience because we'll start building that cow herd and we'll start seeing those prices come down. But it takes a while.
Yeah.
So this is not going to be solved in a week or even a month.
Well, I still like my ribeyes, but I'm not going to lie. The prices, it's a little sticker shock when you go out there and you try to buy steak.
Maybe like me, maybe you don't need a 16-ounce cut, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Blake, make that steak last twice.
I get it. Blake Hurst, look, we're thinking about you. I hear about this, and I depend on, it's kind of like my rule with the military. I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm not a veteran, and military folks have different perspectives. I always appreciate your perspectives. You're out there, you know, working hard, and these farmers are trying to, you know, survive. So thanks for the update this afternoon, and I hope you can have a Merry Christmas, Blake. Thanks so much.
We're planning on it. Thank you.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, audio cut today on this Tuesday afternoon is going to be musical because I woke up to some very sad news. I mentioned this a little earlier on the show that Rahm Malo from the band The Mavericks died at the age of 60 yesterday. And if Sue were here today, she would agree with me. Rahm Malo, one of the best ever.
Here comes my happiness again.
When Rolling Stone wrote about Rahm this morning, they kind of referred to him as the operatic vocalist and co-founder of the Grammy-winning Latin-tinged country band The Mavericks. And I was very aware that Rahm was suffering and he had cancer for a while. And I even, and this is a true story, I was listening to John Mayer's station on Saturday on Sirius XM. And a Mavericks song came on. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm really, really worried that Rahm Malo is going to die like in the next couple of days. And unfortunately, he did yesterday. And, you know, the statement from the band was great. It's with the deepest grief we share the passing of our friend, bandmate, and brother Rahm Malo, the band said. Anyone with the pleasure of being in Rahm's orbit knew that he was a force of human nature with an infectious energy. Over a career of more than three decades, entertaining millions around the globe, his towering creative contributions and unrivaled generational talent created the kind of multicultural American music reaching far beyond America itself. No one embodied life and love, joy and passion, family, friends, music and adventure the way our beloved Rahm did. That's what Betty, his wife, added. Now he'll look down on us with all that heaven will allow, lighting the way and reminding us to savor every moment. All That Heaven Will Allow is a song that Rahm covered from Bruce Springsteen. And here's what I will say. And we're taking politics out of the mix here, okay? Because I have to take politics out of the mix when it comes to music and rock bands. But what happened was, is I've seen the Mavericks a fair amount of times, and Sue would agree with me, one of the best live acts ever. I have a dear friend, John Lynch, and I wanted to bring him so badly to a Mavericks show because it's the kind of show that you could go to and you don't necessarily need to know the music at all, and it just sounds great.
I like to kiss you, even your dog thinks I'm quiet.
He was known as El Maestro with the bandmates and fans. He had a very powerful singing voice. And Rahm Malo told Rolling Stone in 2015, if you ask 10 different people what the Mavericks mean to them, you're going to get 10 different answers. And then you're going to hear our records and hear one song, and you're going to think, this band is like this. And then you're going to hear the next song and go, holy blank, this band is nothing like that song that I heard. And that's my experience with the Mavericks. I'll give you a little example here. About 13 years ago, maybe not that long, like 11, 12 years ago, the Mavericks even did something as a cover of Motley Crue and Dr. Feelgood. And listen to what they did with this. Kind of crazy when you think about it. Very unique. Rahm Malo doing Motley Crue. Hang on, it'll kick in here in a second.
Rat Tail Jimmy is a second-hand hood. He deals out in Hollywood. Got a 65 Chevy Prime of flames, traded for some powder goods. Jigsaw Jimmy, he's running again.
Tell me that's not the most unique version of that song that you've ever heard. And they did very unique things like this. Now, Rahm Malo was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer after a routine colonoscopy. And he really, the last couple of years, his health was not very good. Those of us who were fans of the bands knew that this moment would come probably sooner rather than later, unfortunately. But, you know, the music just really sticks with me. This is from the latest album that the Mavericks did. I used to use this one as a bump quite often a couple years ago. And this one is with Maggie Rose.
Innocence, more precious than a pot of gold.
Every December, and by the way, the Mavericks do a lot of great Christmas music. Every December at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, they've had an annual concert, the Mavericks had. The shows were really, really always great. But this one, a couple of nights ago, went on without Rahm Malo. They were celebratory, deeply emotional. They paid homage to Malo and his impact on music. There was Rodney Crowell was there, Steve Earle, one of my favorites. I mentioned Maggie Rose. Malo couldn't be there because he was not well enough. But he did say this, music has been been the guiding force of my entire life. It carried me from my Cuban-American childhood in Miami to stages across the world. It introduced me to my brothers, the Mavericks. It gave me a home in Nashville, Tennessee. It allowed me to raise my three incredible sons, Dino, Vincent, and Max, who are my greatest pride and joy, and it connected me to you, the fans, whose love has sustained me through every chapter of this journey. He said, in these past months, I've had to fight battles I never imagined, but on the hardest days, music remained my companion. Your letters, your stories of how a song helped you through loss and heartbreak, joy, those became our songs. You all carried me more than you know. Thank you for giving my voice a place to live, even when my body cannot be the one delivering it. Rahm Malo, dead at the age, unfortunately, of 60. And this one kind of hit me hard because that's my age, unfortunately. Colon cancer. Cancer sucks. We'll go out with the Mavericks. Have a great night. Here is your audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.